Bob Nightingale joins us. Let's hear for Bob Nightingale, USA Today. One of the best. No, he is one of the best, absolutely. And he always picks the Giants to win the World Series. That's why we like him.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, Bobby, it's nice to have you here. He wrote a tremendous article that was in the USA Today yesterday. Barry Bloom is going to join us when Bobby is finished here today. Barry wrote, of course, for Forbes.com. A lot about Barry Bonds. But just listening to the 715, 756, 762, 700, 661, you look at the history of baseball, and the man just, he transcends everybody who ever hit him. You put it all together, the good and the bad, in your article about Bonds.
Yeah, it was just a, I mean, certainly one of the greatest players who ever lived. I mean, outside Babe Ruth, because he pitched, you could even argue maybe second best to Ruth. But, yeah, just the dominant guy. I mean, he just changed the way every single manager approached the game. You want to know, hey, when's he coming up? You know, intentionally walked with the bases loaded. You know, just the most feared player of, you know, of pretty much any sport. I mean, you're talking about Michael Jordan of basketball. I mean, he was, you know, the Jordan of baseball.
Yeah, you know, we asked some of those questions yesterday. Give us the most iconic world-known figure of basketball, Michael Jordan. And we asked people, who would you say, pro football, world-known pro football, who would come to your mind?
Yeah, you mean just a player or a stat?
Player.
Yeah, you know, there's not that one. You know, I mean, obviously, you're here. You know, Joe Montana, obviously, here. You know, Elway up in, you know, Denver, you know, Manning. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Jim Brown, maybe nobody as great as Jim Brown, particularly retiring on top as he did.
Yeah.
But not that one particular guy that stands out.
Yeah, but you have Ruth in baseball, and you have Jackie Robinson in baseball, and then you could argue Bonds in baseball. For the reasons you'll listed right now, you'll talk about right now, the good and the bad, because there is that part of this retirement. He is home here, safe in San Francisco, but other places they still would question him.
Yeah, I mean, still, you know, go up to Cooperstown every year. People still go crazy over Hank Aaron. They still call Hank Aaron the home run king. So that part, you know, will never change. And some people will never accept, you know, that he was the greatest home run hitter ever. You know, there's a reason why he's not in Cooperstown. I mean, not all the 75% of the writers agree either. So, yeah, he's always going to have to fight that battle. And, you know, hopefully, I do think he gets in one day. I know a lot of people disagree. I do believe he gets in within, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But before the eligibility is up, I think people will say, you know, why are we putting in guys like Mike Piazza and mm-hmm. Jeff Bagwell and Pedro Rodriguez, and we're not putting in the very best guy of that whole steroid era? Makes no sense.
Bob Nightingale joins us. You used the word fear earlier, that he was a player that elicited fear out of other players. You could feel it when he stepped in the box. It was almost like you knew it. He knew it based on how he just pulled that strap off of his arm. Is there anybody in the game or in sports that you can think of that has that same impact?
No. I mean, maybe LeBron James in basketball.
Maybe that's the only one that comes to mind for me. Yeah,
yeah, but not in baseball. I mean, you would get one pitch to hit a game and, you know, and hit it for a home run. If you ever foul one off, you were stunned, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he actually fouled one off instead of hitting it over the fence. But, yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, that made it unusual. I mean, could you think of Williams, who had the great eye, and, of course, you know, a great hitter. Maybe he always said the greatest hitter who ever lived would be him, Ted Williams. You think of Mays, you know, who had the great skills and was thrown at, but he had normal at-bats. But this guy didn't have normal at-bats, and that was the difference with him.
Yeah, I mean, that one year when he hit 73, I mean, he could have hit 90, 95, 100, you know, if he got pitched at the hit.
Right.
And
you know,
if just people approached him like every other person, it was unbelievable.
You bring up an interesting point, and again, he never failed a drug test. And, you know, I could get my criminal law hat on here and go through the trial and, you know, people didn't testify and suppressing evidence and whatever. But Selig is in, Tony La Russa is in, and they were surrounded by guys who admittedly used steroids. So is it fair to take Clemens and Bonds and Palmeiro and the rest of them? Or do we really have to evolve to a point of saying, okay, they played, that's who they are, we you can't make these distinctions?
Yeah, my thing is I won't vote for a guy who got suspended for drug use because he hurt his team. I mean, A-Rod killed his team. He was out an entire year suspended. Ramirez, you know, twice got popped. You know, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, all they did was help their team. I mean, You wanted to be the best player there was. I mean, the whole sport was filled with guys who were doing stuff. And I think, you know, if Bonds was just a regular player and didn't break, you know, the most hollow record in baseball, people would like him better. It's almost like they were too good. And I think people hold that against him. Hey, both those guys went to court and won. I mean, what more can you do?
Yeah.
Those other guys never had to go to court. I mean, Piazza never did, or Bagwell, or Budge, or, you know, tons of guys. You know, even this, you know, this latest Hall of Fame class, there were guys who experimented. There's no way all six of those guys were clean that just got inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Boy, interesting. Bob Nightingale with us, USA Today. Describe, you've been here the last couple of days or so, describe the atmosphere, the city around what we're going to experience today. Well, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I've just been wild. I mean, came up from the train down south and up here, just a crazy, just the energy level. It almost feels like a playoff atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And just some people excited. And the Giants are still, you know, hanging around the race. They're not in it. They're not out of it. But I think just a special time. And what, I mean, this is, I think, the most expensive ticket there is of any regular season game in Major League Baseball. People looked for this game more than even any Yankee Red Sox game this year. It was the highest priced ticket.
Yeah, you said in the column, Bob Nightingale with us, USA Today. Absolutely read the column, because Bob summarizes everything about today, as Barry Bloom has done as well. You guys really hit it hard. But StubHub, $800 for a ticket?
Why not? Yeah, I mean, it's,
holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, might be your last chance to see this type of celebration, you know, right? And the, you know, maybe goes to Cooperstown, you know, comes back. But I think this is more special, just the fact, number's retired. First, you know, non-Hall of Famer to have his jersey retired by the Giants. So just mean, you know, how special it is. They're not waiting for Cooperstown. They say, you know what, let's just go ahead and do it ourselves.
Ah, boy, interesting. All right, let's talk a little baseball with you. The Giants have a couple of players who may have some interest, maybe Sam Dyson, maybe McCutcheon. When do the Giants pull the trigger, or do they not pull the trigger on these?
A little bit in no man's land, Marty. I don't think you can pull the trigger yet. You know, you're still getting, you know, last night the you know, Dodgers lose, the Diamondbacks lose. So you're kind of hanging around there. I think you got to wait till almost the end of August. I do believe, though, if they pass those guys through waivers, I think Dyson could get claimed. McCutcheon will not get claimed because of the salary. But I think Cleveland Indians will be all over him. To me, it just isn't natural to join that Cleveland Indians staff, or not staff, the outfield, if they follow the race.
How about the Oakland A's? I mean, they're a team that just, like, they're going to get every pitcher that's available. They added Fernando Rodney the other day. They already had a tough back end of that bullpen. Familia, Trinan, and then Lou Trevino, of course. Are we to a point now with playoff pitching where it's not about just getting starters anymore? It used to be add that frontline starter. Now you just need arms.
Yeah, and I think the A's, yeah, if they make that wild card spot, they're just going to throw every single arm at the Yankees in that game.
Throw a starter, let them go four innings, and then just cut it down if you can.
Yeah, if that. Yeah. Maybe two innings.
Seriously,
yeah.
They may.
With all the relievers they have, and they could be a nightmare for a team. We, you know, we haven't experienced that great big upset in the Sunday Night Wild Card game yet, but this could be the year. I mean, Oakland could ruin MLB's hopes of a Yankees-Red Sox division series.
I have a theory on this one. I thought about it today coming in. The A's are always trying to be on the cutting edge of changing baseball and all that kind of stuff. And they are trying – now, the Royals did it with all their relievers. They won a World Series, got to the World Series against the Giants. The A's are trying to do it. But they're trying to do it with about six relievers, not three. Not to say just make it a six-inning game. As you just said, and you said, Bobby, they're going to make it a four-inning game. And now they're going to start the parade of relievers in. So they're going to change it. The A's are going to do it differently. The other thing I think about the A's, why they have to keep stockpiling these relievers, Kelly came over from Washington as well with Fernando Rodney.
See, I forgot about Sean Kelly.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Well, what's happened here, they've won, you know, what, a 32, a 43, whatever it is, you know, some amazing amount of games. But they've had to use these guys every win because they don't have people who go nine innings. And when you use relievers that often because you're winning, you don't have any rest for them, they're going to burn them out. Trevino is starting to look like he's got some cracks in the armor. He gave up a home run last night to Upton. I saw him against the Dodgers. He didn't look good in the Dodger game. I don't know if you were there for that game. But I think the A's are trying to do something that's beyond just 6, 7, and 8. I think they're going to try to get 5 or 6 relievers. And as soon as there's trouble, they're going to start bringing them in, and they're going to claim that they have hit the cutting edge again.
Well, what they'll do, I mean, we're just 2 weeks away from the September call-ups, so they'll have a million pitchers on the roster. Right. I hate that rule anyway. But, yeah, then they can give those guys rest. And that wild card game is on a Wednesday, so it gives you an extra day or two to recover. You know, in the division series, you know, if they win that wild card game, then you start to get tired. Dodgers ran through last year when they tried to do those tricks. So we'll see. But, you know, if they just beat the Yankees in a wild card spot, hey, their season's made.
Yeah, but if you don't have starters, and the Giants are in that position as well, that can give you 8 or 9 innings or even 7 innings, and you're winning, then you're in the bullpen, you're in the good part of your bullpen every day. So that's why they need 6. They can't get away with 3. The Giants have 3, and they got to use them all the time, right. 3 or 4, and that's why they're starting to crack a little bit.
Yeah, which is a shame with what's happening with that Houston series, because those starters were, you know, went great. Yeah. I mean, they got a nice young rotation, you know, with the you know, Suarez and Rodriguez. It's fun to watch.
Be interesting. Bob Nightingale with us. Bob, as we look at the Cubs, and of course I want to touch on you just a little bit, the Mets, DeGrom and Syndergaard, obviously they're staying where they are. But the Phillies and Atlanta, you know, this is August. This is August 11th. They're still here. It's not the first week of the season. What about the Phillies and Atlanta?
It's amazing what both those teams have done. I just saw the Phillies in Arizona. I mean, they're a legit team. Yeah. Nice young starting rotation. You know, it reminds me, too, you know, when they signed Jake Arrieta, it was like what John Lester did to the Cubs. Those young guys started kind of sponging off him and everything else, and he's a true leader in there. And they really picked up from Arrieta, and they're ready to win. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, it'd be a huge disappointment in Philadelphia. The yeah. crowds are starting to come back, and hey, when they're going great, that city and that vibe and that ballpark reminds you a lot of this place.
Well, they're not done. They added Justin Bour to that bench, too, so he's going to be a power bat for them off the bench. It seems like teams continually – you and I were discussing this. You wanted to – what did you say last week? Move back the All-Star break? The trade deadline.
I thought that it should be moved back from July 31st, maybe August 15th.
Well, we're seeing more and more of these moves every year that are value moves get made in August, it seems like.
Yeah, because more teams are in it, mm-hmm. and I think you need another week or two to figure out who you are.
Yeah, there's talk about that among GMs, and then getting rid of the non-waiver
July
trade deadline.
Yeah,
so you, like you said, go to August 15th, yeah. and that's the deadline.
And you just split the difference there.
Yeah, yeah. Like last year, I mean, the best trade of all was Justin Verlander. Mm-hmm. You know, midnight, you know, a few minutes before midnight on August 31st. Yeah. Clear his waivers, and he was a difference in the World Series.
Well, the way this came about, September 1st, you had to have the player on your roster by September 1st, because the Yankees, of course the Yankees, used to do this. They used to load up in September, and they get all the players that they needed in September, and they'd use them, and then they'd win the World Series and all these players. So the league said, wait a minute, you got to have everything done by September 1st before you can be in the playoffs or in a World Series.
Remember back in the day, it was always like, what, 10, 15 years ago, where you had to be on the ground or at least
remember
in
Davey
the airspace.
Lopes? Come on,
yeah,
Davey Lopes.
Doesn't count, right, or doesn't count.
He was in a plane, and the question was he in the Atlanta airspace?
Right.
Davey Lopes will tell you the story.
Oh, like you had to be there in person. It wasn't just on the roster.
Your
feet in person
had to be on the ground in that area. Isn't that crazy?
Racing to beat the clock.
Crazy.
Yeah,
all right.
It'd be crazy.
Bobby, thanks for stopping by, as always. Yeah. Great perspective on Bonds, and I think you covered it really well, so I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Bob Nightingale, USA Today. More coming up on the Sports Leader.